back to our second hour of today's edition of World Crisis Radio. This is Webster Tarpley again in Washington, D.C. Now, of course, this past week we had a big flare-up of interest in Obama's birth certificate and is he qualified to be president? Where was he born? We've had this major Cook case, which has been on Hannity a couple of nights this week, Lou Dobbs on CNN, and a lot of interest. So let's get it directly from the source, our contributor now, almost a year now since he first went to the Supreme Court, is of course Phil Berg, Democratic lawyer, life member of the NAACP, former Democratic Party official, former Democratic candidate for governor and senator, and he is of course the one leading the charge, taking the point on this issue about Obama's qualifications. Welcome, Phil.
My pleasure to be on. This has been a great week because the topic is now being discussed when, as you mentioned, Lou Dobbs, CNN, other places. I'm not sure it's the best case for us, but at least it's the topic's out there. And the reason I say that is this Major Cook has a different scenario than the Air Force Colonel Hollister that I'm representing. But the issue's out there, and I think that's important because we need more and more people involved in this issue. I don't have the exact date, but we did get a tentative date for October for a hearing in the Third Circuit. But more pressing is the sealed case that I had against Obama, which is now unsealed because the judge, in our opinion, wrongly dismissed the case against us. And we filed a motion for reconsideration, basically stating there's a major conflict of interest with Attorney General Eric Holder. Well, the government just filed their response several days ago, and we're preparing our response to their response. But they cite a case which has no basis whatsoever. Their reply is just so off base. Excuse me. And they're taking cases that have no effect. So we really are going to press this, and I think they're stating that Eric Holder never signed anything in this particular case. Well, I don't care if he signed or not. He's the attorney general, and this is his underlings, and this is a major conflict of interest. So the next step is we'll be filing our response by Monday, and then we're also asking under the qui tam, you're allowed a hearing. We're going to ask for a hearing on this. Now, the difference is this next hearing can be open. As soon as I get a date on here, I'll tell you, because hopefully we'll get a lot of people there to come to the court to you know, see what's going on and to be able to, have some backing for us.
Bill, what city will that, where will that be held?
That's going to be held in the United States District Court in the District of Columbia.
I see. That's that pretty man court down at the foot of Capitol Hill, right by the Labor Department.
Well, you know the location. I'm not sure
right.
I was there. I just last time I was down there, I took the train down, took a cab. But you'll be able to tell people where we are. But that case is major because the case that I filed there with the False Claims Act, what I'm stating for your listeners is that Obama is not a natural born. He's not naturalized. I'm stating he's an illegal alien. And with being an illegal alien, it means I filed an action saying that he was fraudulent in being a United States senator from Illinois, and therefore his salary and benefit and expenses, which totaled over $1 million, should go back to the United States Treasury. So that's significant because if we can get discovery in this case, the ball game's going to be over for Obama, because I assure you, if he was born in Hawaii, we would have seen documentation by this time. But the fact is that he hasn't produced that documentation because he can't produce the documentation. Your listeners have to understand one thing here, that the difference is that he must produce this documentation. If he puts false documentation into federal court, then he's got a lot more problems. So that's why we believe the situation is that he hasn't produced any documents in the courts at this time.
The Lou Dobbs coverage was interesting in the sense that Lou Dobbs, unlike many others, drew the necessary distinction between this fake abstract, the short form that the Obama supporters wave around, right? We've already released it. What else is there? There is the long form, right, the detailed vault copy. And I believe WorldNet Daily actually got a Hawaii birth certificate from the early 1960s. And you see, this is much, much different. It's got all this stuff about mother, father, where they live, what time of the day or night you were born. Is it a multiple birth? Who's the physician? Where's the hospital? The address, the time, all this other stuff. The detailed stuff. That is what Obama refuses to produce. And thanks even to Lou Dobbs now, a lot of people know that there's something different. It's not just this abstract or short form.
Absolutely. And the reason is, the other form, not only the doctor's name, the doctor's signature is on there. You know, for your listeners, if he had it, he would have produced it by now. He spent over $1 million. What I ask your listeners to do is keep spreading the word here. Go to our website, ObamaCrimes.com, O-B-A-M-A-C-R-I-M-E-S.com, ObamaCrimes.com. And that's that is so crucial at this point, because you know, we have to get the word out. And when we get the word out, you know, then more and more people involved, I think by public policy, by public pressure, we can do things. So
is there also
that's what
some, the idea that you reach into the Army and change the way the Army operates? Maybe there's something illegal there, too. Because when Cook said, I'm not going, and the court said, all right, we'll hear you, then the Army turned around and said, you don't have to go. Let's drop the case. It's all moot. That looks like political influence on the Army deployments. And I remember, you know, back in the Army-McCarthy hearings, that was a big deal.
Well, here's the thing, though. I've heard, and I don't want to put out false information, I heard that the reason they changed the order was not because of the case, but I heard that Cook also stated at the last minute he was a conscientious objector. We're checking up on that. And if that's it, that's why they changed the order. But the difference with the Cook case versus Hollister, Hollister is a retired Air Force colonel on ready recall by the president. On the case of Cook, Cook was in the National Guard, I believe, or whatever force he's in. And just 2 months ago in May, he went in and signed up to go to Afghanistan. So it's a different situation completely.
Right.
He signs up to go to Afghanistan, and now he changes his mind. But the big issue for everyone is the issue is out there being talked about. That's what's significant right now. We need more and more people to know about it. We need cash because we want to put up signs. One person, one group is putting up signs saying, where's your birth certificate? To me, that doesn't mean anything. If we raise the right money, we're going to be saying, Obama, where's your birth certificate, to bring people in to the real issue that's at hand.
Absolutely. I urge everybody, go to ObamaCrimes.com, make a contribution. Don't get distracted. The Orly Tate's cases are not the main line. It's the Phil Berg cases that need to be supported, also because this has the added benefit of breaking that idiotic left-right mental straitjacket, which a lot of people are interested in maintaining. So, more power to you, Phil.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate being on your show all the time. And everyone, if you can go to ObamaCrimes.com and send it to everyone in your address book and ask them to send it on, and if you can make a contribution, we can get real signage out there that means something.
Okay. We'll see you next week, and keep up the good work. And we're hoping for Quo Warranto sometime soon.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nothing like a good Quo Warranto to throw that into the mix, right? By what law do you exercise this authority? All right, so we got to shift back to economics now, and we've seen CIT. Boy, if that goes down, there's going to be a lot less merchandise on the shelves. And since we're always being told that 2/3 of the U.S. economy is retail sales and consumer economy, that's not a good situation. And now you see why that's such a tremendous vulnerability. So we'll be back in just a minute here on World Crisis Radio.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Let me call your attention at this point in our broadcast to my most recent books, Obama the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, with detailed account of how a people power coup or postmodern coup works. Looks like there was a postmodern coup in the works in Honduras, and this has been aborted by the military with an old-fashioned military coup. But certainly the Iranian story, postmodern coup, and then the Xinjiang province, some variation on that. And you can see there's a hope that if Kim Jong-il goes to his eternal reward, you might even get a postmodern coup going in North Korea, although that's a stretch. Anyway, you want to learn all about the postmodern coup, how this was used by Obama to seize power here in the United States. Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, available from ProgressivePress.com and from Amazon.com. Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, gaining an interest now as people begin to realize there's something fishy with the Messiah. There's something wrong with the Anointed One. This compendious book gives you the complete lowdown on Obama. It also allows you to predict what he's going to do, because biography is destiny. In other words, your formation, culture, and so forth, in many cases, will give some indication of what you're about to do. It does not compel, but it impels. And then, Surviving the Cataclysm, Your Guide to the Greatest Financial Crisis in Human History. Big interest in that book right now in Australia. If you're out there in Australia, many copies on the way to you. Buy it now, before they're all gone. And, of course, the Obama book available in German and in Japanese. Other international editions are in the works. And Surviving the Cataclysm, if you're going to buy one book on the world economic crisis, that's the one. It's going to be growing as the depression deepens. And people realize that the most precious form of knowledge is that simple matter of how do you get out of a depression once you're in it, not going further into the abyss of collapse and disintegration and breakdown crisis, but lifting out towards full employment, prosperity, rising standards of living, and generally a worldwide recovery with special attention for the labor movement at home and for the third world developing countries abroad. So those three books, Obama the Postmodern Coup, Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, and now the newest, Surviving the Cataclysm, second edition, all available from ProgressivePress.com and Amazon.com. Now, this week we had the shark lobby show up. A lot of people who have been bitten by sharks, but they want the U.S. government to be nice to sharks. And the speculation is that the money for that group, well, it actually turned out to be from the Pew Foundation. Some people say they're called the Pew Foundation because they stink. Others say, no, it's actually Pandit the Bandit, Diamond, Blankfein, and Lewis of Bank of America. They think that sharks are getting a bad rap, and therefore they want to do something to rehabilitate the public image of the sharks. Now, let's look at a little bit more on the international situation. Washington Post is telling us that there are going to be elections here on August 20th. We're going to have national elections in Afghanistan. And we know that the Anglo-Americans are not happy with Karzai. This is this incessant process by which a puppet is put in, and the longer the puppet stays in, the more and more the puppet essentially is captured by the national economic needs, political process, and so forth. And the longer you're in there, the less and less agentry you can do, and more you act like some kind of a national leader simply because you have to. So there's always this process that yesterday's puppet is today's demon, and there's this incessant process of dumping the old puppets and getting new puppets in, because what you're doing is struggling against the underlying social, political, economic, military realities of the country. Anyway, we've been talking for a while about how Karzai is a candidate to become Diem in the Diem brothers there in South Vietnam in 1963, just before Kennedy was assassinated. You'll remember an operation done by W. Averill Harriman in the State Department. And, of course, by that time, that's when the Vietnam War became lost, before it had really even started. So the Anglo-Americans look like they're telling us easy Karzai win no longer certain, and we're being told that the younger generation of educated voters hoping for change, sounds like a people power coup, don't like Karzai, and he's losing support. He's going to be forced into a runoff. It's humiliating. We've got a guy called Mohammed Atta. I don't know whether this is Mohammed Atta, the alleged hijacker. Apparently not. He has dumped Karzai and switched his support to another guy called Abdullah, who is another candidate. So you get the idea. The Afghan war. Now, here's the political premise here. You can see the death statistics, the body bag statistics in the Afghan war are going up, up, up. There is likely to be a crisis in the United Kingdom before here, before the U.S. There's going to be a British crisis about the futile slaughter of the British Tommies in Afghanistan on the lost patrol, right? Because that's what it is. That will then play back into the U.S. But here's the political premise. Obama equals Carter, to be sure, plus Lyndon B. Johnson, plus Nixon. We have argued for a long time that Obama is the new Carter, right? He is a puppet of the Trilateral Commission. You look at these people around him, Brzezinski, Volcker, Nye, right? This entire crew, Jay Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, the whole crew. He is a Trilateral Commission puppet. He is a redo, as a do-over of the abortive, catastrophic Carter experiment of 1976 and in the following years. But he's not just Carter, because Carter had advantages compared to Obama. The one thing with Carter, and he always boasted, is in many years of the Carter administration, he would say, not one American has been killed overseas. Okay? Whether this was exaggerated or covered up, we don't know, but it was a plausible claim. With Obama, of course, people are getting killed now. We just had two or three U.S. troops killed on Thursday, and it's just, it's every day, right? The offensive in Helmand province is, I think, a bloody fiasco at this point, and so forth. Because remember, the goal is to destroy Pakistan, not to do anything specific about Afghanistan. So Obama equals Carter plus LBJ, meaning the Vietnam War, plus Nixon in terms of preventive detention and keeping people and throwing the key away. So Carter equals Obama. Carter plus Nixon plus LBJ equals Obama. Back in a minute.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
LBJ plus Nixon. Carter, of course, a disaster in terms of economics, energy, and a whole series of things. LBJ, the debacle of the Vietnam War. The word in Washington now is Afghanistan is an endless war, 5 to 10 years, dubious outcome. The most you can hope for is that it becomes like Chad, another form of failed state. You're fighting to make sure that it's one form of failed state or another. It is Obama's Vietnam. Now, it means, therefore, that the obvious way to challenge Obama in the Democratic Party presidential primaries is to do it on Obama the warmonger, Obama the butcher, butcher Barkey, bailout Barkey. He is escalating the Afghanistan war. This is an exercise in futility. Ask the British Empire. Ask the Soviet Union. This is simply impossible. And in addition to that, We've got all the stuff about, you know, the no-knock. We've got preventive detention. That was another big one for Nixon, right? Throwing people in jail with no habeas, no due process. Obama wants that, too. So Obama equals Carter plus Johnson plus Nixon. He's got the worst of all three. Now, whether the Democratic Party is dead, moribund, and a dead duck will now be shown, because what you've got to do if you want to have a presidential campaign, you've got to assemble it starting basically now or in the next 6 months. You've got to put your presidential machine together in 2010, and then you got to hit the ground running at the beginning in 2011, because then you got 1 year to Iowa and New Hampshire. And I may be a little bit ahead of the curve here, but that's where you've got to be. Dear Democrats, dear opposition Democrats, if you thought that Carter had been shocked and crippled by the challenge of Senator Ted Kennedy in 1979 to 1980, it is now very likely that Obama will also get a challenger, if only on the basis of the warmonger issue, as well as the dictatorship and related issues. So whether this whole area, the left wing of the Democratic Party, whether this is now moribund and gone and rotten and decadent beyond all saving, this is what we're now going to see. I would say that the survival of the country depends on the quality of a left wing, and it's moderate left, right? Not the loony tree hugging cap and trade, not this Malthusian garbage, but pro labor, pro third world, traditional New Deal, moderate leftism. This is what we're going to need, because that's the kind of stuff that can get you out of the depression. Your right wingers, of course, can do a lot of damage to Obama, but with them, the depression gets worse and worse and worse, because then we're going to have the Austrians, the Chicago, the hedge fund hyenas. We're going to have Mitt Romney, in effect, the asset stripping hedge fund hyena in the White House. So to go from Obama to Mitt Romney, that will not be progress. There must be a New Deal alternative. That's the big thing that is missing. The only body of economic policy that has proven its ability to work, no matter what lunatic fantasies about history that we're now getting dished up by these right-wing characters. They are rewriting history like mad, in the dark, upside down and backwards. So that's what you're going to need. So Democrats, time to think about that, and also forces, you know, in the general vicinity of the Democratic Party, capable of acting, projecting into the Democratic Party. Now, in terms of the crisis of the Obama regime, interesting tensions are developing. Interesting article here by Jim Hoagland, Washington Post, Sunday, July 12th. White House fault lines, and we're told that the fault lines are between the czars in the White House, and of course Obama has now got more czars than the House of Romanoff, and the cabinet secretaries, because the idea is that Obama wants to have a collection. It's actually a gaggle of extremists, environmental extremists, all kinds of nutcases. One guy says he's a former communist. We've got this John Holdren, the White House science advisor, is a certifiable genocidalist. He's got this book called Eco-Science, where he wants to sterilize people. There ought to be a big campaign against this monstrosity of having the anti-science mob, the obscurantists in the person of John Holdren, as White House science advisor. Remember all this stuff about how Bush was anti-science because he didn't support global warming and so forth? Holdren is basically preaching genocide from the White House. He says it's time for de-development. It's time to essentially wipe out a large part of the world's population. This guy, John Holdren, is a big target. But generally speaking, the problems arise when you have the czars in the White House fighting the cabinet secretaries. And the key one, of course, is Hillary Clinton. I reported before that on the day that Hamid Karzai and Zardari of Pakistan came to the White House, there was an attempt, reportedly by Holbrooke, to exclude Secretary of State Hillary Clinton from the meeting. She threatened to resign on the spot. And at that point, the opposition collapsed. We're now told that there's more fighting, this time between Rombozo Emmanuel, the dead fish purveyor, right? That guy is a recipe for friction. If you didn't have fault lines in an administration, this odious Rahm Emanuel will make sure that they're there. So here's what we find, that Hillary wanted to install Joseph Nye, this is not a good choice, but Joseph Nye, the king of the soft power clique, wanted to make Hillary wanted to make Joseph Nye the ambassador to Japan, but Rombozo Emanuel and Obama came in and said, no, 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 we monopolize all the ambassadorships for our fat cat contributors and campaign bundlers. This was widely attacked under Bush, that you would take total incompetence and put them in key foreign embassies simply on the basis of the money. And everybody wants London, and everybody wants Paris, and everybody wants Rome. And after that, you take what you can get. So this seems to be it. We're also compared. Hoagland usefully compares. He said, remember how Zbigniew Brzezinski used to fight Cyrus Vance under Carter? Yes, right. Looks more and more like Carter in that respect. Look at Colin Powell fighting with Rumsfeld. Well, that's also relevant. But now it's going to be Hillary against Rahm and against the White House, the clique in the White House that actually runs things. Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, Robert Gibbs, and Dennis McDonough, the message commissars of the regime now. The other big tensions are with the Pentagon. One thing is that Robert Gates is demanding the end of the F-22. Now, this is a complicated issue. I would say it would be good to take those high-tech assembly lines of the F-22 and preserve them and gradually retool them for the kind of stuff we're going to need for aerospace, for going to Moon and Mars with colonization, exploration, colonization, and industrial production in space. That's what we really need. But in the meantime, you got to keep it there, right? So, of course, Robert Gates and these Wall Street guys, they just say, we're going to asset strip it, and that will be the end of that. Now, that is dangerous. That you don't want to do. And naturally, the designers of the F-22 have made sure that there's a piece of the F-22 in so many states and congressional districts. This is shaping up as something like the Carter Water Projects campaign. Carter began to poison his relations with the Congress right about now in the first year of his first administration. Read all about it in Obama, the Postmodern Coup, by cutting off key water projects in many of their districts. And this is now the F-22. The F-22 means jobs all across the U.S. Obama and Robert Gates, who served under Carter, want to shut this down. They're going to have a fight with Congress over this. They're going to have a fight with the Pentagon. The other big thing is this question of the Afghan command. We had General McKiernan, the military bullet head. Remember him? Four-star general bullet head who was commanding in Afghanistan. He was ousted in a very brusque and insulting manner by Gates. And this is now causing grumbling at the Pentagon. We'll get back to the grumbling at the Pentagon in just a minute.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. If people in Germany interested in getting the lowdown from me in German, auf Deutsch, you can go to Alles Schall und Rauch. Fred Mann out of Switzerland does an excellent website, Alles Schall und Rauch. And Secret TV of Leonberg near Stuttgart, also having my stuff up, if not now, then very, very soon. Don't forget the books in the various languages. Now, let's get back to this question of the growing tensions between Obama and the Pentagon. The way in which McKiernan was fired was brusque and insulting. McKiernan, military bullet head, he wanted to stop killing so many civilians in Afghanistan and Pakistan because he said this is having a blowback against my troops. And, of course, that's the whole idea. The goal is to create civil war in Afghanistan, but mainly so that can spill over into Pakistan. The target is Pakistan. Probably McKiernan didn't quite understand this important point, that his goal was nothing to do with fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan, but simply using the U.S. military presence to promote the breakup of Pakistan. You know the drill, Pashtunistan, Balochistan, Sindh, Punjab, Waziristan, tribal areas around that. So McKiernan didn't get it. He was a military bullethead, some kind of a traditionalist, the old army. So Gates flies over, fires him, press conference, his career is over. Pentagon generals boiling with rage against Barkey and Gates. You could see this coming, right? Somebody like Barkey, I won't belabor the obvious. This is not going to go over big on the other side of the river at the Pentagon. Now, McChrystal, of course, a special forces utopian, meaning a terrorist controller, someone who directs the opposition, the operation of assassins, somebody who, you know, for whom Predator drone program of assassinations, largely of civilians and wedding parties and villages, that's right up his alley. The New York Times reported, and this came up in a recent conference in Germany, that McChrystal, according to the New York Times, had set up torture stations, something like 15 to 20 torture stations in Iraq to torture people. So that's McChrystal. So that's the utopian who comes in. The military traditionalist, the bullethead, is out, and McChrystal is in. So the Gates, of course, himself a utopian, has humiliated a four-star general. Boy, the British better pull out of there, right? Get the Tommies out of Afghanistan as fast as you can. Canada, too, get your forces out of there. The Italians had somebody killed this week. Get out. Go home. This is a loser. The incompetence of McChrystal. He says, oh, I'm surprised to know that the Taliban completely dominates southern Afghanistan, Pashtunistan. Well, yes. Anyway, this is a fool's errand. This is a wild goose chase. End this now. It's time now to recognize Afghanistan is Obama's Vietnam. He demanded this. He came out in Chicago, July 2007. I demand the unilateral bombing of Pakistan. I demand acts of war against an allied country without reference to their government. And that is going to be this endless war, 5 to 10 years, according to the official estimates, in Afghanistan. So if there's anybody left alive in the peace movement, are you there? Are you so stupefied by your foundation funding that you can't come out of the woodwork? Because a lot of these people, right, the code pinks of the world have essentially gone and have become dormant. They don't want to pick up the war issue anymore. All the pacifists have become warmongers in honor of Barkey. And, well, even their foundation grants are not going to protect them from the discrediting operations that are going on. Now, let's just talk about this healthcare debate going on. By the way, even Biden, before we get to that, even Biden is now reported to be leaking that maybe Afghanistan is going to be a loser. So when Biden jumps ship on a war, then you know that it's now you're in trouble. Now, look at the cap and trade, right? It's easy to deal with cap and trade. The answer to cap and trade, cap and tax, whatever it is no, no, no. There's no reason for any of this. This is a fraud. It's a hoax. It's fake science, junk science. There is no anthropogenic global warming. We don't need it. This would have no effect in any case. This is going to double at least the price of U.S. grain exports to the third world. It's going to kill hundreds of millions of people in the third world. You call that a left-wing policy? Well, you better guess again. So cap and trade, simple. No, no, nix. The healthcare question is now more complicated because here there is a real need which is being exploited by these demagogues. So I would say, as usual, take it right up the middle. No to the rationing of care. No to balancing the budget of AIG and the Hartford and the rest of these bankrupt insurance companies, Hartford, Prudential, Allstate, MetLife, Lincoln Financial, Ameriprise Financial, Principal Financial. Don't balance their books by sending senior citizens helpless into that bad night. Euthanasia, in other words, the Obama administration looking more and more like the Hemlock Society. I'm sure we've got that going on, too. At the same time, though, you got to have something, right? Because you got 50 million people who have nothing. The Republican demagogues get on there. The Republicans have basically controlled the government for 40 years, except for the Carter and Clinton interludes. So they set the tone. There's no health care. 50 million people don't have it. So you've got to have a government plan available to those people. Government plan would be cheaper. No dividends, no stockholders, no extravagant pay packages for the executives. You don't need so much lobbying. You don't need any advertising. That could have real savings. Let it be like the U.S. Postal Service competing against UPS and FedEx. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to play a government bureaucrat against a corporate bureaucrat, and you can try to eke out some kind of a margin down the middle and then fight politically, because the corporate bureaucrat is going to be more vulnerable. There was this thing about 10 years ago where there was some kind of a government insurance plan thrown in for the elderly, and they went wild, and it was rescinded within a couple of months. We'll go back to that one, and I'll try to do that as we go along. Now, here's what we find. There's a proposal for a surtax on the super rich. There's nothing wrong in principle with a surtax on the super rich. It's important to let those Bush tax cuts for the rich lapse. But the surtax on the super rich, well, you can do it or not do it. But what I recommend is something different. Tobin tax, securities transfer tax. Instead of targeting these individuals, let's target the biggest flow of resources that is completely untaxed, right? Derivatives, stocks, bonds, options, futures, commodities, foreign exchange, all of that. And there's no sales tax on any of that. Slap a sales tax on that. That's your Tobin tax, securities transfer tax. You will have money for California. You will have money for a health care program. Now, the CBO says, Congressional Budget Office, the bean counters, say that there's not enough savings. There's not enough cost gouging in the current bill coming out of the House. That's good. That's a good sign. You don't want their savings. Their, what they call savings, what they call entitlement reform or gouging, chiseling, is exactly what you don't want. So you've got to, you basically got to thread the needle down the middle between the Republican demagogues who want to give money to the private insurance companies, and that's it, and the ORSAG and Sebelius demagogues and the Daschles out there who want to loot Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid to get more money for Wall Street. So the hypocrisy of the Republicans is what they fear about this is if you get the public option, if you get a government plan available, it will expand because it will be, in many cases, better. So this will break the back of the Republican ideology, and that's about time. The Republican Party can survive if it becomes the party of industrial capitalism, right? Congressman Pence, 100 reactors in 20 years. No, Congressman, 100 reactors in 20 months. So stay tuned on this healthcare stuff. But again, cap and trade is easy. No, healthcare right down the middle. And we'll be back next week here on World Crisis Radio.